up for Brandon. Welcome back to another episode of It's Not Easy Being Green. It's certainly not easy being in Saskatchewan right now because, my understanding was that daylight savings was next weekend and I don't follow that closely enough to give a shit and it doesn't happen in Saskatchewan. So jealous. I know you guys switch the clocks and my time actually changes without my clock changing. So it's stupid. It's so freaking stupid. It's
fucking moronic. And it makes me crazy that it's still a goddamn thing.
So unfortunately, what that means is that you got the same intro music as last week, because I was going to load that up over the next hour. I was also going to load a Hallelujah chorus for when we could hear Christian, which we now can hear. So those are just a few things that we're going to miss out.
Hello, my little OnlyFans pay pigs. I'm back, baby. It's the dulcet tones of CP.
And I guess just to make all things correct, what it do?
What it motherfucking do. I love that. I'm assuming that's probably Juan. It says his voice is a little loud.
Yes, that is definitely Juan.
Delightful. I'm wondering how many people will actually be listening today due to the confusion regarding daylight savings time.
Well, you just about didn't have a host, so.
Yeah. I was like, did I miss fucking something? Like, what, because I was going to just continue to clean up my fucking house, but here we are.
Well, so this, I'm going to be a little bit underprepared here for the moment. I'm going to cut one of the segments out for the day, but we got tons of stuff to get to. And that's just the way that my Sunday afternoons tend to go. I tend to push as much stuff or spend as much time as I can with my family and whatnot and push some of the stuff off until the last minute. So this is a show that is for fans of Werder Bremen. It happens Sunday, presumably at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get the Podbean app so you can join us when we go live. We've got a number of people already joining us. So Spivey's here. Salty, welcome back. Orville Redenbacher is here, and I'm pretty sure that's Juan. Obviously, King Ian is with us. And Dustin was here. Oh, he just moved to a different page on there. And Brian Ramirez is joining us. And speaking of which, Brian is going to be joining us at the about the 40-minute mark or so to talk about some of the work that he's doing on behalf of the Werder North America scene. And Paul just jumped in as well. So yeah, if you want to join us, you're more than welcome to. You can send chats into the text area there. And when we have call-in shows, we can let you do that as well. Now, if you don't have time to join us on Sundays, or if you don't have the app or whatever the case might be, you can always reach out to Christian, myself. Christian on Twitter is at SVWOMYTFC, myself at Not Easy Green. And you can follow the Werder North America fan group, which we haven't talked about for a little while. But most importantly, just go to our link tree, and that is going to have just about everything else you could possibly want and ever imagine. So there is where you're going to find the link to our Discord. You're going to find the fan shop, which Ian sent me something on Discord today about a sale that's coming up. So give me one second here. Again, this is going to happen a few times today, I'm sure. So there's a big spring sale, $13 t-shirts and up to 40% off everything. Starts tomorrow and runs through to the 25th. No code required. So get your Make Werder Horny Again shirts. Get them while they're cheap, I guess. And there's stuff like that on the link tree. You can find that stuff, I think, on the show website, as well as a few of our Twitter home pages or whatever. And the link tree address is linktree.com/WerderNA, linktr.ee/WerderNA. So Sooner is not going to be joining us today. And a collective sigh went across the audience. Unfortunately, he's got a pretty rough day ahead of him that he's got to deal with some stuff. But he'll be back next weekend. And he has left me his Sooner lock that I got to get to again. I didn't get that ready because I thought I had an hour.
Sooner's out there sowing the seeds of discontent regarding another conspiracy theory about how he's not top of the table, as I'm sure we saw.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. He's probably running security at a Trump rally. That makes sense.
Trying to spring the Proud Boys out of prison. That's
punching all those people that are working three jobs just to make ends meet.
That's right. Standard.
All right. Well, let's dig into it. Honestly, we got a lot coming your way. And again, I can only apologize for how scatterbrained I'm likely to be this show. But it's good. You'll have a little bit of laughs at my expense, perhaps. All right, let's get going here. So Werder welcomed home its $20 million son on an evening to forget as Werder hosted Dortmund in the Topspiel of the weekend. The floodlights were on, the fans were vibrant, Stark returned to the lineup. Things were feeling good right up until about the 10-minute mark of the game or so. The game plans were laid out from the get-go. Werder would remain deep and compact on defense, trying to clog up the center of the pitch. Dortmund would control the game and try and draw Werder out of position to create an opportunity. The classic game of cat and mouse played out much more like it does in reality than in the cartoons. Brandt split the midfield in half, launching a shot that would ultimately end in a Malen scoring beauty, while the defense watched on, and then Sancho displayed the seismic gap in talent as he blew past Malatini, who, despite his recorded length, had a tough outing and couldn't contain Sancho, who would put his team up and in control 2-0, coasting into the half. However, just before the half, and just like last game, Werner sprung his tactical genius once more in having Sabitzer booked with a red card to help level the playing field, just like last week. Brilliant stuff. All through the second half, Werder played with one additional player, and it became obvious that if we wanted to see competitive games week in and week out, this is the kind of handicap that might be required. Werder would gain a goal back through Njinma, who showed once more why he does have the touch when needed, in a rare sequence in which Werder connected two passes that went where they were supposed to go. In the end, even while having a player advantage, a two-goal deficit was just too big a mountain to climb. I don't care how you slice it, Werder is slumping hard headed into the final stretch, having two games in which they had a decided upper hand, but were unable to capitalize meaningfully. The next two games are against teams also struggling to find firm footing, and it may just be what Werder need to set things straight once again. Christian, thoughts on the game, immediate reactions, overviews, complaints.
Feels like the exact same fucking thing as last weekend, you know? I mean, it's the same, and it sucks because, you know, when going through, I rewatched the game this morning because I wasn't able to watch it live yesterday. TFC had their first home game. My dad was in town, so I had to actually be social. God. So we were drinking beers at like 11 a.m. in the morning and went and had some goat roti. But yeah, it feels like rewatching it today. It felt exactly like last week. It was funny because I did see the red card while my dad was here. We caught maybe like 15, 20 minutes. So we saw the red card and I said to him, I'm like, most people would consider this an advantage and this just doesn't mean shit to us. And then
we will find a way to make this a disadvantage.
Yeah. Seriously. Or to do absolutely nothing with it at all. Like nothing fucking happened. And we continue to see the exact same shit over and over again. And I'm sure we'll get into it in depth in our ups and downs. Yeah, man, I don't even know what to say at this fucking point.
Well, in some ways, it's almost like when people put out a product, right? And then the next time you see it on the shelf, it's like 20% more, right? Yeah. For the same price or whatever. And that was basically what we watched. We watched the Hoffenheim game, you know, with, you know, 25 more minutes of, you know, one extra player with the same result, right?
Yeah, where we do nothing, where we literally do fucking nothing, you know? And it kind of makes me think of, so there was the interview that Ole did, and he said, you know, I kind of tell them what to do. They get out there and they do their thing, ideally in accordance to what I've told them to do. So if that's no longer working, you know, or does he just not see that it's not working? What am I missing there?
Well, obviously you missed that it's working perfectly.
Yeah.
There is no cause for concern.
Have different concepts of how this game works. Maybe I've been kind of fucking doing it all wrong for a while now. I'd be really happy to have somebody explain that to me at some point. I'm sure I'll go on Twitter and find some sort of genius out there.
It's where the geniuses hang out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's one guy lately who's just, I can't fucking deal with. It's just so much. I reserve the term bootlicker for like fucking Blue Lives Matter and like dudes who suck up to Elon Musk. But this guy, and you know, and there's no way that our front office is anywhere that level, but like sometimes some of the like shit that comes out of this dude's mouth, I'm like, where is this? Like, how do you sleep at night knowing that this is your stance on this club? Like, what are your expectations going forward? And how do you think we're actually going to achieve these?
Well, it really is too bad that I, you know, again, that the time change messed up because my intro song was going to be the Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is a brilliant bit of lyric, you know, what a fool believes he sees. A wise man can't possibly, you know.
A wise man can't ever. Like a motherfucking McDonald. It always makes me think of that 40-year-old virgin scene where it's like, I'm going to burn this house down if I hear that goddamn song one more time. I love it.
Well, let's get through to some three ups and three downs.
ESPN Plus Originals.
All right, Christian, let's start. What do you want to start with? The ups or the things that suck?
I mean, the ups, I was really sort of stretching it. I
only got two.
Yeah, I mean, mine, like I said, were really stretching it. I'm sure I've used them almost every week for like the last, I don't know, 3 to 4 months.
Paul just said he reached to mute his TV that wasn't on.
Amazing. See how clear the sound is, my friend? Yeah, I guess we'll just get those out of the way. Get that nasty bit of business out of the way. The good.
and you know, before we do the ups here, I want to say hello to Giant Anus.
Very cool. Anus.
I love it. I'd love that's got to be Le Chef.
yeah, you got to think. And I'm assuming too that he went through several different incarnations of that name before it fit, because I'm sure they wouldn't allow for, like, you know, super vile names, but he managed to make it work. And
oh, I'm sure they allow for super vile.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do a little switching around myself.
All right, let's talk about.
Yeah, talking about the good here. And I say this with a complete lack of sincerity. I mean, well, like, in the sense that there was a lot of good to take away from this game. Linen, once again, continues to be consistent. Brilliant player. We're lucky to have him. There you go. I don't really need to speak much more on that. One of the few highlights of the game. Actually, you know what? Let's take a look and see what his overall stat. No, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? We know he's fine. Jinma, same thing. Great player. I don't know. What else are you going to say about the guy? Kid's fast. Should be starting 11. Blah, blah, blah. Great goal.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Just literally going through the fucking motions for this one. And then back from injuries. So our defensive line is, or for the most part, or at least some guys are, so we no longer have to play Christian Gross. Okay, I was waiting for that.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I'm really,
you're,
I'm
really
sorry.
Off your game today. It's okay.
Yeah, you.
I'm about the net. Oh, no. I'm about the net.
Oh. This time change has really fucked you.
Yes. And as a married man, it's been a long time. So.
Fair enough. I was going to make a joke about homeless population being around, so I get laid all the time. God damn.
It's a good thing you didn't, though.
No, exactly. I'm glad I kept that to myself. fuck. Anyways, back from injuries, you know, we've got a couple guys back from injuries, especially as looks like Stark is right back in it again. Fuck. And I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we're just not functioning as a team. You know, you can have anybody in the back playing center back, and it doesn't really matter in the cold November rain. Anyway, so that was my good.
All right. I only had two things that were good. And the first one, you can tell how far I was stretching on this already. Only Schmid picked up a fifth yellow. So that was my first thing. That was awesome.
Hey, I'm not mad. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And the next one, of course, was the low hanging fruit that Njinma bags another goal. Nice finish. And honestly, there's just, again, no reason this kid shouldn't be starting. I said it last episode. I'll say it again. And I think I've got a bunch of stats here that I'm going to give you later on in the show that indicate that there is no reason that Njinma should not be starting alongside Dukes if he's going to be the other starter. The kid continues to improve, has 6 goals on the season, making him the second lead scorer on the team. Or if you remove penalty kicks, he's tied with first, so which is pretty phenomenal for a guy that hasn't played as a starter the entire season. Real good work from him, and I'm excited to see what happens with him, like everybody else. But that was probably the solo bright spot. That whole sequence, Jung's pass was fantastic to open up the play, et cetera, et cetera. That little sequence, that play was marvelous, and that was 15 seconds of the 45 minutes that we had to watch. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say overshadowed by all the rest of the dreck that you know surrounded this small little bright spot, this little flower growing amongst the dung patch.
All right, well let's get into the things that sucked, because I'm sure there's a few more of those.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, the defense on the second, or I guess it was the Sancho goal. I don't actually just blame Malatini for that. I actually kind of blame Stark. I rewatched Stark, it a couple times. You know what I mean? Because you had 3-on-1. I can't remember who the other, I guess I would assume it was a forward, who the other Dortmund forward was. And you had 3 guys on him. And then you had just Malatini, who's playing Jadon Sancho. And don't get me wrong, I rate Malatini, but you know what? I rate Jadon Sancho more.
Slightly more. He doesn't
just
have the...
a little bit.
Doesn't have, you know, the length Malatini has, but
yeah, that's right. The same amount of syllables as last name, you know. I thought the defending on that was kind of amateur, and I don't think Malatini should be taking any sort of views for that. He just sort of tried his best, but it's a team sport, and if you expect Malatini, who you know has been decent, like obviously still a lot of work to do. Still a young player and still new to the league, blah, blah, blah. But Jadon fucking Sancho, man. Like, Stark is a professional, has been playing in the league, knows this game, probably better than Malatini does, and kind of really fucked up on that one. Next up.
Well, and on that point, I was chatting with Orville there about that particular situation. And the tactic is set up that it isolates Malatini on his own. On a quick transition or where the opposition can move the ball to our right wing quickly. So right out the gate, it puts Malatini in a tough place that he has to cover a lot of space, and then to play 1v1 against Sancho and then not to get the support, like you said, 3 guys standing around Fulkrug, and Stark should have moved over much sooner than he did. And it was a team failure, that one.
Yeah, it really was. And yet I actually believe that Malatini is probably going to be punished in some capacity.
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully on video.
The Werder way.
Live stream. next I said, and I'm sure you probably have this as well, we have not learned to capitalize on being a man up. How the flying fuck is this a goddamn thing? And I mean that genuinely. Like, come the fuck on.
We needed to stop tickling and start fucking.
Goddamn right. No, I could not be more right on that. Like, at what level? I mean, even like primary school kids understand that if you have a man down, you are less, you know, your team has less opportunity, less defense, basically should not be winning a game, you know? So I think, and yet we did absolutely nothing. And I'm not entirely sure that I blame just the players on the pitch. I'm going to blame, once again, Ole on this one.
Clutch your pearls.
I know. Because he, once again, does not play to the strengths of the goddamn team. Like, as far as strategy is concerned, we're just not doing it. Like, that's when you make some fucking offensive subs. And our first sub was in the 65th minute. Hold on a second.
And it was an offensive sub.
Sure.
I watched it and I was thoroughly offended.
Yeah.
My sensibilities were offended.
How could you? So let's take a look and see here. It was, I mean, we had Velkovic come on.
There it is.
We had Kovnatski come on for Steya.
And then we waited another 14 minutes afterwards. For what the fuck are you waiting for? We're losing at home. You know what I mean? Like, we are losing at home. Unfucking believable. Just moronic. So, anyways, then we had Bittencourt come on for Agu. And we gave Alvaro a good solid 6 minutes, along with Voltamata a solid 6 minutes. Some brilliant fucking stuff out there. Anyways, so, and then, well, I guess my next point up was subs again. Too little, too fucking late. Standard. And it seems to be a lesson that we are not learning once again. And then, you know, we had the same players in the lineup as last week, give or take, and we were just as effective as last week.
That is embarrassing.
So if you are going to consistently play players because they get you the result that you want, I get it. However, is this the result that you want? Two losses in a row? Like, you're not going to question your fucking tactics or the players, you know? So I would assume that we'll probably see something different next week. Or, well, you know what? I would assume incorrectly that we would see something different next week, because you would think, okay, two games on the loss, same players essentially. Like, I'm actually curious to see whether there was any difference in players.
Well, at a minimum, we know Schmid is out because he's suspended. Okay. So now the tactical genius is going to sort this one out. Yeah, with something fantastic.
I look forward to that. Jesus H. Christ. So, and then my last point for bad was Starks out, you know.
That is embarrassing.
That should say that is maddening, or that is so sad rather than embarrassing.
yeah, heartbreaking, frustrating. We got all sorts of words for that one. Anyways, those are my points.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't I wanted to this one. I only have two downs because my first one is like Malatini. It's got some length. So the first one here is that Werder are basically good for one goal and no more.
That is embarrassing.
So since the start of the first half, Werder have scored more than one goal. Start of the second half, Werder have scored more than one goal only once, and that was against Freiburg. Or you could say 12.5% of the games. By contrast, in the first half of the season, Werder were able to score two goals or more 11 times. In other words, 65% of the games. That's an over 50% drop in the second half. Well, you know, and while it's right that we could praise Werner for, you know, tightening up the defense, because if you do look at the first half of the season, we shipped away a lot of goals against as well. But it has undoubtedly come at the expense of offense. Werder now kind of follows, as we've bambied this about on Discord, but he now kind of follows in the footsteps of his predecessors before him, unable to find that balance with this team between offense and defense. You get one or the other, but you don't get both. It's like going to college. You're gonna get rest, or you're gonna study, or you're gonna have a social life. You can pick two of those three, right? You can't have everything.
Well, what's crazy, you know, too, is that we're not doing either of them particularly well. Like, they're okay, but we're not like top of the league for fucking goals scored or, you know, goals against, right?
The idea being is that, like, you know, it's like, okay, we got to tighten up our defense, but rather than keeping the same offensive output and tightening up the defense, we've lost offensive output Like, it's a complete either or, it seems. And the issue that Werder now faces is that the team, because of the defensive mentality first, they're only generating a handful of opportunities, and they absolutely now have to capitalize on them. Whereas before, we were conceding goals, but the opportunities were more plentiful. So now our strikers need to have an absolute killer instincts. So I divided the season into the halves, and just using the first half of the season, Werder were achieving just over two big chances per game. Which is about average for most mid-table teams when I did the comparison. The second half of the season, we're averaging 1.625 big chances per game. We've also dropped, excluding penalty kicks, from scoring 1.15 goals per game to now under one. We're at 0.875 goals per game in the second half of the season. If we add penalty kicks in, we're actually doing better in the first half of the season. Like, the chasm just gets broader. So in the first half, we outperformed our XG, excluding penalties, by a plus 1.4. So what that means, XG, you know, expected goals. We scored 1.4 goals more than what they expected us to. In the second half of the season, we're underperforming our XG by 2.3 in the 8 games. So that is to say, of all the goals they expected us to score, we've scored 2.3 less than what the stats would indicate we should have scored. So then when we look at our strikers, per 90 minutes, and this is important, per 90. So I don't know how else to explain that. I could say it slower, I suppose. But Dukes's XG indicates that he is good for a goal every 4 games. So his per 90 XG is 0.23. Njinma is double that. He's good for a goal every 2.25 games, sitting at 0.44 XG, basically double what Dukes's XG is. Interestingly, and this gets fun, per 90 minutes, and again, this is what's important. If you actually allow the players to play, this is what they can achieve. Per 90 minutes, guess who is slightly better than Dukes at XG? Go ahead, Christian, take a guess.
Kovnatsky.
You got it. Kovnatsky, if you let him play for 90 minutes, is expected to score more goals than Dukes.
Why? Why would you want to? Well, no. But hold on. Why would we want to let him play? He's not scored any goals. Therefore, he's completely pointless. He gets 10 minutes every other game. So, I mean, that's ample opportunity to show that he's world class or should be thrown in the bin.
Now, it must be said that Kovnatsky has got small data set for Bundesliga, right, which they're running off of. But he's achieving enough in those minutes that he is playing that they're basically granting him the same level of XG ability as Dukes. Now, all of this isn't even necessarily to discuss strikers, okay? So I don't want to run off a tangent here, because whatever, strikers are what they are. But the our two top strikers, so Dukes and Njinma, they combine for an XG, expected goals, of 0.67 per 90 minutes, which means that we're good for one goal as a team with those two strikers every 135 minutes, or basically one goal every 1.4 games when using our two best strikers. This is abysmal, and it cannot succeed long term. And as mentioned, this is the truth about XG. It tells us a lot less about the strikers and a lot more about the plan to generate goals. And this is where I want to focus. What is our team's ability to generate great chances for our strikers? The biggest factor with XG as it relates to strikers is their ability to position themselves. Is the striker getting into great scoring positions? Now, this is where individual strikers can raise the expected goal stat, right, all on their own, just by good positioning, or which foot they shoot with. Do they take headers versus strike it with their feet, et cetera, et cetera. Outside of that, the XG stat is heavily influenced by the type of pass that comes in, the distance to the goal, when the ball is struck, the defensive positions when the ball is struck, and the goalkeeper's position when the ball is struck. The reality is that our strikers suffer from low XG, low expected goals per 90, and it's linked heavily to our game plan and our ability to present great chances. And this becomes even more preposterous when we consider games like the last two, in which a few creative talents sat on the bench. Even when we're up a man in the second half with an additional player, Werder only generated 1.21 expected goals in the second half. So given how we're currently underperforming our expected goals, we could expect to get a goal, which we did. But being up a man, chasing a game, the game plan and player initiatives were never going to be enough to get two goals in 45 minutes of football. Again, keeping with how we've traditionally fared this season. The Hoffenheim game, again, down two goals, given a man advantage for around 20 minutes, and we only saw an XG of 0.95. So the game plan being used, the current skill levels of the players, and the way that those players are being deployed will likely not see us achieve more than one goal per game for the remainder of the season. That's my first down. Any thoughts on that, Christian?
Amazing. That's just the first one. How many more do you have?
I just got one more.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate. I was like, all right, this is going in. I honestly, like, I do wonder, Well, first of all, I think Dustin pointed out that there was a little bit of criticism. Was it from the Vaser Courier or something like that?
Yeah.
Somebody said that the second half was shit. So, I mean, it's on somebody's radar. Not much, but a little bit. I'm sure the fans definitely feel a certain way. I haven't seen anything in on Twitter, which obviously is not necessarily the greatest gauge. But you got to think that people are kind of recognizing something, a bit of a pattern. And, like, is Ole just completely eschewing any sort of technology? Is he just avoiding it altogether so as to, like, not have to...
Well, I don't know. We should grab his cell phone and check his search history. We'll find out if he's eschewing technology.
I mean, he may not have a cell phone, right?
Hey, there you go. Oh, all right.
Like,
so
if you were able to come up with this yourself, like, how is he not seeing it, you know?
Well, and all these stats are readily available. You just have to spend 15 minutes. There's this thing called Google and poof, you know, it, results.
Yeah.
All right. So my last one, and this is another bit ranty, but that's why I only have two. Number two is, why is Keita even here? So the man was labeled a coup for Werder, and now he's being openly mocked for spending more time on the can than on the pitch. And he's kind of become a bit of a joke at Werder. And in a sense, it's almost become worse. I think he's become a real source of confusion. Previously this season, an article talked about how a bunch of the Werder players didn't really care for Keita, that he ducked sponsorship events, wasn't much for team camaraderie, didn't show up for practice. So, and during that period of time, he played 81 minutes for the club. And the majority of the time was kind of sidelined with various quote unquote injuries. I'm not going to say they weren't injuries. we don't know. They were called injuries. That's what we know. However, since the beginning of February, Keita has returned from playing with his national team in Africa. In 20 days, Keita played 178 total minutes for his team, double what he's played for Werder. And now, after his return and a spell of dysentery or some such, he sits on a bench completely unutilized. And as I've already spelled out, like, Werder are not creating chances. They are not creating anything. And in the last two games, Keita sits on the bench while Werder have a man advantage for a total of 65 minutes of play. At no time in these moments was our star transfer going to be utilized. And beyond that, last game, most recent one, he wasn't even warming up with the team during the game. Right? Like, again, when Werner was kind of mentioned that he didn't look great in practice, he missed a day of training, I guess, this last week. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, this is honestly, this is starting to smell like the Bore saga. It's poor man management.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let Keita be a martyr here either. No. We obviously have a situation in which the club and the player are at loggerheads. The club now needs to take responsibility for the situation and remove the problem. Keita hasn't magically lost talent. He didn't ship it off for a package of magic beans, right? He was fit enough less than 4 weeks ago to play in congested fixtures in the African Cup. Why is he on the bench? Are we trying to shame him? Are we trying to make an example out of him? Like, this again, it feels like Bore man management again, you know. And then Fritz says something like, "We have no intention of letting him go," you know. Well, we have no intention of letting him play. do we get off putting players under our thumb? Is this some kind of weird ego trip? Near as all I can tell, I mean, Keita has done enough to indicate he doesn't want to be here. If he's lax in practice, if he's missing sponsorship events, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, only a few days ago, it seems, they put out this puff piece and Keita is chumming it up with the boys at practice, right? And everything was looking like rosebuds. But since coming back, playing for his home country, he disappeared. He's doesn't even appear inspired to be warming up with the guys. He doesn't believe he's getting a chance. Why is he on the bench? Why is he taking up space? Why are we sending him out in the starting, like, or on the, in the group, you know, in our team? Why is he even there if we're not going to use him? What's the point? All I can think of is that we're trying to embarrass him. We're trying to, you know, show him that he doesn't run our team or that he's not in control. Like, it's some sort of weird super psycho thing that's happening. Unless there's some, you know, I don't know, maybe Christian, maybe he's got a clause in his contract that if he plays 90 minutes, he gets like $100,000 bonus or something.
I fucking don't even understand it. Like, I'm sick of actually hearing about him at this point.
It's jumped the shark. We've gone round the bend.
Yeah. I'd just be inclined to let him go. Just fucking dissolve the contract unless there's some reason legally that we have to hold on to him still. If we don't, just fucking get rid of him. Like, we have enough depth at midfield, especially, like, I mean, guys that we're supposed to be checking out and potentially signing. The fuck are we doing with this guy? Like, he's a distraction from a team that is already somewhat distracted. You know what I mean? I'm tired of hearing about him. I'm not even interested in joking about him. Like, I don't want to say he's dead to me, but kind of. Like, I just don't care about him. Like, he's fucking like a piece of gum on the street. I don't care. Just get it away from me. I don't have energy for it. So I don't know why we're...
Put the ball gag on him and get him moving.
Absolutely. I don't understand why this guy's still here. Genuinely. Legally, unless we're obligated to hold on to him, I don't know why or how that would have happened, but outside of that, just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, obviously, there's an impasse between him and the team, and this is just some kind of weird pissing match that's now begun.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just such a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
You know.
Energy, money, I don't even know if he's getting paid, but...
We'll and that's what I mean by
money's being put into it.
The club just needs to take responsibility. If the case is that communication is broken down, that he doesn't want to be here, that, you know, then just take responsibility, move on. Yeah. If there is a chance that he can play, if it really is about fitness, then come out here and say it with some conviction, unlike what Ole Werner did yesterday. Why didn't he play? And he was all like, well, he was sick and he didn't practice.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just be honest. We're not going to be upset about it. We got it. Like, but to sort of pretend like it's not an issue when it's clearly a fucking issue. Come on, man. Like, you're not, I mean, some people are that fucking stupid for sure, but there's a lot of us that aren't, you know what I mean? Like, we can see this fucking guy. We see him. We see what's happening. You know, we know something ain't normal. Something ain't right. So just, you know, give us just a fucking blanket. Who knows? Just say the most basic thing, you know?
All right, we're gonna lighten up the show here now for you guys.
All right.
Just kidding. So this is a tell us your story. So I've been asking you guys if you want to share why you became a fan or what makes you be a fan for Werder Bremen and how that all came to be. A lot of our listeners like hearing these types of stories. So this one comes from Condre3K, our brother down in Seattle. So he writes, my grandpa Rudy is from Bremen. And I ended up living in Eastern Washington, and he ended up living in Eastern Washington shortly after he came to the U.S. When I was little, we'd go across the state to visit. He'd tell my sisters and I about Germany and his thick accent, and always made Bremen sound like the greatest place on earth. He had photos of Bremen throughout the house, along with plenty of Werder Bremen and Bremen signs and trinkets. And I'm going to butcher the word... Stadtmusikanten. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Stadtmusikanten.
Stadtmusikanten. Yeah. Green has always been my favorite color, so I was very intrigued when I saw the Werder logo. I later went on to fall in love with Werder over the years, and unfortunately, my love has only grown. My wife and I even spent a week in Bremen during our honeymoon in Europe, and I fell in love with the city as well, continuing to visit since. Now my 2-year-old son, named Rudy, after my Bremen grandfather, sweet, watches every match with me and cheers for Werder. And in parentheses, he says, I'm sure this is probably a form of child abuse. Please don't tell the authorities. Well, thanks for sending that in, Condre3K. And if you guys want to, like I said, tell us about how you became a fan. Christian tells us that folks in Germany always find it weird that people would cheer for Bremen. Or we're kind of like unicorns that way. So definitely share your story with us, and I'll be happy to share it with our listener base. Christian, let's talk real quick here before we get Brian Ramirez on. There's a few different things that happened. Boré off to Brazil for $300,000. Do you care?
No.
Awesome. Moving on. Let's talk about what's happening with Dinchy and Voltimade contract extensions, Visor, same thing, especially Dinchy. I mean, that's been a real interesting story with a release clause of $5 million. You know, it sounded like, I think Galatasaray was cited as a club that was basically had them all but signed, you know, and then it kind of went quiet. Heidenheim now also stepped up and said they would be willing to pay the paltry sum of $5 million for his services. And then, of course, we heard that Dinchy and Werder are in contract negotiations. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or how this has all come about. Do you honestly think he's coming back?
I bet it's 50-50 right now, to be honest. I think a huge portion of it depends upon both playing time and Ole. So there, or at least whoever the coach is, should say, I think he's expecting to play, we'll say like 20 plus games a year. And he has every fucking right to expect that. Every fucking right. The question is like, how are they going to guarantee that? You know, because as I think you, I don't, was it last show or was it during the week when you had mentioned, you know, it sort of forces Ole to start playing players that he would probably bench or ignore otherwise, unless otherwise forced.
I was a little more conspiratorial.
Sure.
And I had said that, you know, it would be very interesting to me to see if not the investors, not the board, not the front office, not the fans. Nobody can convince Ole Werner to really work youth and really, you know, develop youth. But if they built it into the contract, so if somebody like Dinchy says, I play 20 games a year, or I'm out on a free transfer, or my transfer value, or I have a purchase option of like $2 million, right, or something crazy like that.
Yeah,
you know, wouldn't it be something if the players themselves, do we actually have a uniquely talented group of youngsters and you know, so Voltimade, Dinchy, Njinma, are they uniquely talented and uniquely positioned in Werder? I mean, what an opportunity. But if they all leverage a contract that guarantees playing time, do they become the ones that actually guarantee that Werner develops youth? That was the
And honestly, like as of right now, that's kind of how it looks and feels, right? Because his track record suggests no. And the only way or reason that Dinchy re-signs with us is guaranteed playing time. And I don't blame him. He doesn't give a shit where he goes. I mean, obviously he doesn't want to go to fucking like Moldova or some shit like that. But, you know, Galatasaray is pretty goddamn tempting. You know, he's born in Germany, but he's Turkish heritage. So I'm sure Galatasaray is playing in Europe, and I'm sure he would love to go and fucking light it up in, you know, whatever European competition Galatasaray is in. Why not? You know, and he's got every right to. Or, you know, he can also play at Heidenheim, where he's really sort of blossomed. Heidenheim looks like they could continue to do relatively well. All things
big fish, little pond situation. Yeah,
exactly. And you know what? Maybe once again, you sign there for another 3-4 years. You play like another year, somebody else, you know, obviously he's going to continue to develop and get better and better. And then you go and sign for one of the bigger teams. But why would you come here and rot on the bench as he had the previous couple of seasons? I think it depends entirely on, whether he gets playing time. And then coupled with that too, you could argue whether Ole is still around to guarantee that, right? What does that look like? I still maintain that it depends on how serious we are about developing youth, because we are going to come to a crossroads at some point in time where Ole will no longer fit the bill for youth development, because he's not doing it voluntarily right now.
Yeah, something's, you know, if it forces his hand, then can he even do it well, I guess, would be the,
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to invite Brian Ramirez here. So, Brian, if you want to take a look at your phone or whatever you're working on or listening to us, I've sent you an invite. You should be able to receive that. Looks like we're connected. Let me know if you can hear us, Brian.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Indeed, indeed.
We can. Welcome, big guy.
Some technology here. I was like, let's just do a Zoom or like a Google Meet.
Well, what you have to remember, Brian, is that what I did was I punched into Google free software. And that's what we're working with.
Nice.
So for those listeners that aren't familiar with who you are and what you do when it comes to Werder North America, why don't you give us a little bit of an introduction, maybe a little backstory, and what got you started with Werder and what got you started being a Werder evangelist, I guess, for lack of better words.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks, guys, for having me. I listen to you guys' podcast every on my morning walks every Monday and Tuesday. So it's nice to see some American or English speaking, you know, chats about the team. It's like, it's so hard. Like I'm going on Google or on YouTube and everything is in German. And I'm like, and the translation is so awful. And I'm like, this is so bad. So thanks guys for what you guys are doing. So background about me, how I became a fan. My partner grew up in Bremen and I'd spend, you know, a month or two every year, you know, work remotely. And so, you know, I spent a month or two just exploring different parts of Germany. And honestly, Bremen and Hamburg being one of my favorite cities to visit. And so how I became a fan, I kind of look at it, you know, I think for us in the States, I kind of use the Friday Night Lights high school football in Texas as a good analogy to what Bremen football is, right? So when I'd walk through the city, you'd just see stickers, banners, flags, legitimately on every street corner or street pole, bus stop, any flat surface, there's like a Werder or a Ultra Werder logo on it. And you'd be taking like the train to a match and you'd see fans as far as 30 minutes outside the stadium wearing their scarves, right? And so I live in New York City. You, as much as you get that probably in a one block radius of MSG or Barclays. So you don't get that type of atmosphere here in New York City. This and real good story on this one. I think it was during the RB Leipzig vlog that I posted. The train was so packed. It was cold. It was raining. And we couldn't get on the train to the stadium. And again, me coming from New York City, I'm just yelling. I'm looking inside the train. I'm just like, I'm yelling. I'm like, there's more room in the back. Just push in. We're all wearing the same jersey. We're on the same team.
We can all be lovers. We can all be
exactly. I've never felt like to be part of one. Like for the trains in New York City, it's just like you're packed in like sardines, and I'm just like, people just won't move. And so I was just like, people are gonna move here. And so what happened is like they moved. So I'm just going to say like either this was because I was that crazy person that they didn't want to be around, or I actually just believe that we were on the same team. And I'd like to just think it was that part. And so just back to it, you know, I love that sense of community that you know, Werder brings to the city. And I'm sure, you know, other clubs like Schalke or Dortmund bring that type of vibe to their city as well.
No, they don't. They don't at all. Nowhere
close.
That was one of those things. So I was a year, probably, I've been a fan for almost like 2 years now, really following it this past year. And when I saw Fulcru got traded or, you know, got bought, I was so depressed. And I'm like, is Dortmund the new team that I could follow? And like the colors are pretty nice. And then my partner's just like, there's really nothing in Dortmund. And I look at it and I'm like, oh, it looks nothing wrong. I've never visited Dortmund, but I'm like, oh, it actually kind of looks like New Jersey. And again, nothing wrong with New Jersey as well. But it was there's, you know,
Bremen bodies in the river, like, that sort of thing.
exactly. And so like, you know, Bremen is just such a beautiful city. Like there's so much culture, and the buildings or the architecture is just beautiful. And, you know, I think a lot of the architecture is, you know, from the 1800s or the 1700s or maybe the 1600s. And I'm just like, oh, my house is built in 1926. And my girlfriend would be like, oh, that's cute. Like, really? Right. So, yeah, that's how I became a fan.
That's awesome. And so, again, for those that don't know, it's been really cool. There's been a few new Werder fans jumping on board in the last 2 to 3 years, which, again, I think it shocks most long-term fans because Werder hasn't in its most recent history been associated with much more than relegation battles, you know, and not a whole lot to really, you know, get excited about per se. But a lot of these new fans have got a lot of energy, and you seem to be one that does. And you've been, I guess, booking TVs at various bars and gathering some friends around and doing kind of like a vlog where you're following the team and kind of developing kind of a bit of a community in New York. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And maybe at the end of it, how folks can get in touch with you or follow the work you're doing.
Yeah, totally. So I've been creating vlogs I've just been starting these vlogs. You know, it's one way for me. You know, I work in technology is my normal day job. And so I've been creating these vlogs to kind of make myself a little bit more creative, a more creative person, right? And so I'm doing these vlogs. I enjoy the team, but I think that there's three, my girlfriend's just like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I'm doing this for kind of three reasons, right? One, I want to educate more people. Or just, you know, whether those are strangers or my circle of friends, I want to just educate people as much as I can about Bundesliga, right? A lot of people watch the World Cup. That's amazing, right? I think it was the most popular World Cup to date. A lot of people watch the Premier League, but not many people know about German football outside of Bayern, and especially here in New York City. And so, again, like I mentioned, you know, I've been following Werder for two or so years now, and there's still stuff to me as an American that just doesn't make any sense. And so, on the last video that I posted, I don't know if you guys saw, it was the scoreboard or the ticker read H96 versus F95. So Ben and Christian, just side with me. If you see this on the TV, you'd never guess who's playing, right?
Hanover 96 Hanover versus Fortuna.
Correct. How long have you guys been?
Plus years. So.
Right? Exactly. So for me, 2.5 years of watching it, I was just like, who's playing? And then people, you know, just walking across the bar, just like, who's SVW? And I'm just like, it's Werder, duh.
Being condescending is a great way to do it too. What are you, stupid?
Fucking idiot.
And so, you know, I posted that on my vlog and, you know, somebody commented, it was just like and I just learned that it's Bundesliga or it's ESPN just getting the feed from Bundesliga.
Yeah.
And so I just really hope if there's a new licensing agreement or if it goes to, you know, another, or if Bundesliga starts to get their own feed, is that they'd really fix this for the North American or for the South American viewers. Cause for me personally, if I saw Hanover on the scoreboard, like you mentioned, I'd Google it, see a picture and be like, oh wow, that's actually a really cool place to visit. Maybe we should, maybe we should do a stopover before I go to Berlin or Munich. Cause that's how I see that. And that's what I would like to see differently. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so second,
have a hard time. Like, you're going to get a lot of grief from German supporters for that. I wouldn't hold your breath on it, to be honest. Just
they won't even know
how things go.
They won't even know there like during Champions League there, you know, when Bremen was playing, it would say Bremen, I believe, or BRE at least.
That's a good question. I think it's depending on whose feed. I'm trying to think. So I'm thinking like that would have been like we played Juventus. It was maybe the mid-2000s, like 2007. I don't know. It's a good question. I'll have to check because we would get it on TSN, which is like the Canadian ESPN. Fuck, I don't know. It'd be Juve, would be JUV. Bremen, yeah, I guess maybe it would be BRE.
I think, yeah. And then someone commented just recently. He said that what was it? He said Union Berlin before it was like during a Champions League. What was this? He said Union Berlin was shortened to UBE, not FCU in the Champions League. And I'm just like, I mean, I wouldn't even know UBE for.
Brilliant. I would just assume, like, I would probably know whoever they're playing in Champions League. Like, we'll say it's PSG. So you'd be like PSG versus UBE. You'd be like, well, I know that they're not fucking PSG.
Correct. I mean, I mean, PSG's, I mean, they, again, done a very good job on market. It's a very, it's a huge, I mean, I think it's a pretty big city, but I think that they just need to do a better job at that.
Marketing.
That's yeah, exactly.
Not so censoring people. That's one of my highlight clips, you know, things like that. Not, yeah.
And not talking condescendingly about SVE, meaning Zoya. So, yeah. That's right. Well, I actually said that, like, somebody came up to me, he's like, who is that? And it was like during Bayern, and I was just like, I was like so happy during that match. And I was just like, dude, get it together.
Listen, yeah, so the asshole.
And it's like at like 9:45 on a Saturday morning too.
So. Four beers deep and starting to fight. All right. Well, why don't you, if you can let our listeners know where they can follow you, various, I guess, either if you've got a YouTube channel, and if there's locals or some people around the New York area, how they can maybe get in touch with you.
Yeah. So, just I had to change this because, some of my, I don't know who it is. It could be the club. They took down one, or someone flagged one of my my Instagrams, and it got taken down. So I was just like, and then I asked my girlfriend, I was like, yeah, your logos could be off. It's pretty damn close to the Werder Bremen logo. And I'm like, all right, so you can just
jeez.
No one, yeah, honestly, knowing how anal retentive the fucking Bundesliga is and some of these clubs are, even if it was a tribute, I can see them being like, oh, no, which is so moronic because, like, you're doing grassroots work for them in a market that they are making no fucking effort in.
As Ian says, we dance that line pretty close with our merch.
Oh, we haven't been sued yet. Happy to go to court over it. Fucking suck my dick. You're and the club I love, and we're trying to help you out, shitheads.
That'll be like our defense.
I'm also not making any money off of it. Exactly. I'm literally, like, I'm giving free plugs. Exactly.
Free advertisement, and kudos to you, by the way, for that. Absolutely. Shit.
Like, I was plugging. I did. So when I first started, I Googled where to watch Werder Bremen in New York City, right? And I'm like, okay, that became where to watch Bundesliga in New York City, and it ended up being like where to watch soccer in New York City. And so I just gave a free so I was like, let me make a vlog to say, like, where to watch Bundesliga in New York City. And that's kind of where I made one for Smithfield Hall. That's where we've been watching these matches every weekend. That's a free plug to them. Now that I did that, they've noticed it, and they're like, "We're gonna put you in the front now." And that's where I think Amazing. Ian sent me a flag, and so I just started putting flags all in the front, Amazing. And they're just like, SVE or SVW. So if you guys want Werder Bremen on YouTube, I think it pops up pretty quickly now. I've been getting some good traction on that. That's kind of where you can reach me. I don't really post that much on my Instagram, anytime I create a new Instagram, it just gets flagged. So if you want, just reach me at my just reach me on my YouTube channel. Share the page, like the page. There was one thing that I've been talking to a lot of my friends around this. Some friends from Bremen as well. They're like, if you get to the monetization side, are you going to do it? And I'm like, I'm trying to, if I could, I was like, how can I promote something that I really like in Bremen? And I'm just like trying to figure that out. So,
dude, make money. If you can make money, make money. Nobody's going to hold it. You know what? Some people will, and fuck them. Make money off it and use it. Like, it's at the end of the day, it's free advertising for a club that we love and support. Right. And chances are you'll probably end up spending that money going to support the club in some capacity. Yeah. Anyways, it's not like you're, you know, rinsing the club and fucking them over. You're literally showing people where to go and support them. You're exposing new people in the city in New York. And, like, if I ever go to New York and I want to watch a game, you know I'm fucking contacting you ASAP.
Yeah, let's go.
You know what I mean? And that's, same shit. You come up to Toronto, like, that's the sort of shit that we want with this. So 110% get that fucking money. And, yeah, it's out of goodwill and support for the club that we love.
I was going to say the same thing. Get paid, Brian. I mean, we've been doing this since 2018. We can't even get shavers for our balls.
Yeah. I had to pay for this new headset.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could, if you can get any, that honestly, yeah, get paid. You're doing great work, and thank you so much for being a part of connecting fans of Werder Bremen with each other. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Small pockets of this just need to keep happening over and over again. And yeah, that was a stab at Manscaped there, Orville. they didn't get back to us, so I guess we have to buy our own ball shavers now.
You know what? I'm just growing mine out of protest.
And that's actually what we've decided now. We are going to promote hairy men.
1970s style bushes.
Tease it, back comb it, style it, like
turn it into a bird's nest. That's you just start feeding finches out of mine.
Sorry, Brian, you had to be associated with that particular.
I'm like, I'm doing the Bart Simpson. I'm doing the Bart Simpson meme right now.
Homer in the bushes.
The Homer, yeah, yeah.
Or it could be Homer into the untrimmed pubes. All right, Brian. Thanks so much. One more time, where our listeners can find you.
Yep, YouTube at Werder Bremen.
Amazing. All right.
Thanks so much, Brian. Really appreciate you joining us today. Get in touch with him, everybody. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Keep on fighting the good fight, fella. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
Good night. Okay, that's just friggin' sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love hearing stuff like that.
Me too. Oh, it's brilliant. We got to keep it going because Lord knows the goddamn fucking club isn't going to do it for us. So,
well, and beyond all that, you know, I'm not doing this forever. there's got to be other people.
Until we're not. So,
all right. There's still questions to go through. Bet on it or against it, and Sooner stuff. Christian, what are you up for?
I'm not gonna stick around for Sooner stuff because yeah. I only ever like put my shit on mute and like do other stuff.
You let him ramble, right?
Yeah, exactly. God bless his heart. So let's get the other shit out of the way, and then I'm gonna vacuum my house.
Okay. All right. So first thing, just an observation, but Skelly seems to be getting more playing time than Linen did when he first arrived. Looks like Ole has gotten the memo that he needs to play him in order to evaluate him for long-term potential. Agree, disagree?
Yeah. I think there's a sense of urgency with Skelly, but I still don't think it's in any capacity enough time to fucking evaluate him. But the fuck do I know? I'm just some dickhead in Toronto who occasionally goes online to talk to other dickheads.
Hey,
it's all you motherfuckers out there.
King Ian did vacuum my house sarcastically, and I was gonna type in there the vacuum will be on, right?
It's a matter of what's being cleaned, if you know what I mean.
All right, next question. What's the bigger disappointment, that Werder can't take advantage of being a man up for 45 minutes, or that the press will ignore the first 44 minutes of the game and focus on how positive the second half was when up a man?
That's an amazing question. I want the third option, where the press will just continue to ignore the downward slide that we have because of our current position in the table. What was the first one again? Was
I don't know. Moving on.
Yeah.
Sure. And we welcome Geppy. Sorry, Geppy, there was a time change. Deal with it. You're still being timed to talk about how you're not in first place anymore. who's replacing Schmid in the starting lineup, having collected his fifth yellow card of the season?
Leo. Unfortunately. Actually, I'd love to see Skelly, but Leo.
Hello, Doom.
Yep. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
There's the next intro music.
Yeah. Seriously.
All right. Would you rather, and folks, if you want to send me these, please send me these. I love getting a variety of these, and it's always fun to put Christian on the spot, and he doesn't mind it. Would you rather Dukes stays on as our main striker for the next three seasons at his current output? Or Hasfal comes up and beats us in the next six Nord derbies, but finishes below.
Come on. What asshole sent that in?
I am
I'm going with Dukes, but
I'm no different than those people that distribute porn in plain brown wrapping. I will not disclose my sources.
Well, fuck you, whoever that was. Obviously, I'm going with Dutch on that one, but Jesus Christ, what a dickhead. That's just, why would you even put that out there into the universe?
Well, since he outed himself, that was King Ian.
Ah, there we go. That's about right. Par for the course.
Bet on it or against it. 33 points avoids the relegation playoff.
Bet on it.
I think it should. Yeah.
It should. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I went through the comparison last week as to how close we are to the relegation year. Fucking like just awful us close, and our way. Opponents. It yeah. can happen, folks, is what that what it was supposed to tell you. It can happen. All right, bet on it or against it. The next permanent change we see in formation, tactic, and player, so permanent change, will be due to suspension or injury rather than Ole making the change. So the example he gave was...
I'll bet on it. Yeah.
For sure. Don't even have to get the example.
Don't even have to fucking finish that. That's just how changes happen in the lineup at this moment. Like, I'm a firm believer in that. It is just an absolute in the universe. The sky is blue. Ole only changes the lineup when somebody is injured and the other guy performs better.
And absolutely.
They almost inevitably fucking will. You know.
All right. Well, that does it for the questions and stuff that we have. We didn't get to the Ole Werner interview stuff. There's too much to get through this week. There still is stuff we haven't even touched on. But we will touch it later and we'll keep it around. Brr. Do it next time. But with that, I'll play the Sooner intro music and you can go turn that vacuum on and do whatever it is you were going to do. Thanks.
Clean some pipes.
Thanks for hanging out, Christian.
Always take care, everybody.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner,
maggot, Sooner.
It's a rigged system.
Maggot,
Sooner.
Nobody can do it like Sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than Sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than
Sooner.
We'll totally accept the results if I win.
All right, so as mentioned at the beginning of the show, Sooner is preoccupied today with some stuff that he's got to do, but he did send me his lock, and also involves me having to pronounce the name of the coach hired by Union Berlin, which is going to be fun. Brelitsa, I think, is how it's done, but I'm forget it. I'll just probably screw that up. Anyway, so this is Sooner's lock. So since we last played Union Berlin, there's been a big improvement in form for the Irons. Insert Derek Ray emoji here because I don't when they I haven't read this obviously beforehand. So again, apologies because I forgot about the time change. So when they hired the new coach in late November, they were at the bottom of the table with 6 points. And just looking at the table since he was appointed, Union are now in ninth place with 19 points. Just looking at the table since he's been hired. The team above them in eighth place for that same span of games, Werder Bremen, also with 19 points. And Werder only has +2 goal differential over Union. So... this has the makings of a pretty even match, looking at those basic statistics. However, I think if I had to assess which direction these clubs are going in, it's safe to say Union are trending slightly up and Werder are trending not so slightly down. Flaccid. Some more bad news for Werder. Union Berlin has only lost one of their last 7 home games, a 2-0 loss to Dortmund a week ago, where Union gave them a much more difficult game than we did yesterday. A big key to this is their defense, allowing only 6 goals in those 7 home games. Meanwhile, Werder has managed to score just 7 goals in its last 7 road games. Werder's recent road form has been mostly okay points-wise, but the same type of performances that helped us limp to wins against Mainz and Cologne are probably not going to cut it on Saturday. This game is huge for Werder because the next 4 games don't offer a ton of opportunities for points. Wolfsburg at home is winnable, but at Frankfurt, at Leverkusen, and Stuttgart at home is a really rough stretch where we shouldn't expect many points, if any. After that, there's only four games left in the season. The pressure is going to start to mount a bit if we can't get another win, especially if Cologne continues to kind of hang within striking distance of jumping out of the bottom three. My locks have been utter shite for about a month now. Werder needs a win, and hell, I need one too. But I'm afraid both of those can't happen this week. I'm going to go against Werder here and take a double bet on the game. Union Berlin to win and over 1.5 goals scored in the game. DraftKings gives you plus 150 for that combo bet, and I'll leave you with this little slice of optimism. The last time I bet against Werder, we beat Freiburg 3-1. So again, the lock here is Union Berlin to win and over 1.5 goals scored in the game.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. Of the day.
All right, so that probably wasn't nearly as sexy sounding as Sooner does his work there. So, you know, waiting with anticipation for him to come back next week. Let's take a look at the leaderboard for the contest. So again, thanks everybody for participating. There was a couple of climbers this week and a couple of people that dropped a little bit. Geppy. So the leaderboard looks as follows. Dustin has climbed and is now 2 points clear as number one in the table with 15 points. There is a four-place tie for second, Cacophony, Geppy, Le Chef, and Christian, of all people, with 13 points. I'm just laughing because last time he did this, he was terrible. King Ian, solo in sixth place with 12 points. Three-way tie for seventh with Dirt 13, El Comandante, and Matt Miller with 11 points. Sooner, the lone number 10 with 10 points. A couple at 11th place, myself and Spivey with 8 points. Lohena Strued tied for 13 with 7 points. Big Ben, Condre 3K, Herodoctor Tim, and Arun are all tied for 15th with 6 points. And then making up the bottom of the table, we have Jay, Mark D, Juan, Nahu, Brian L, and Boring Anna still needs to get a point to get off the bottom of the table. She's still got zero. So once again, please send us a pick, Boring Anna. You can still have a big surge right at the end of the season. Come back, especially the way that Sooner's got this thing rigged. I mean, explained that you can get different point settings for different players and stuff that you choose at the beginning of the year. But yeah, there you go. That's it. That's the Werder picks. Make sure you get those in. It's on the Kick Tip app now. thanks to Le Chef for helping Sooner get that set up. It's pretty slick, and I'm pretty sure we'll be using that going forward. And I guess just a little bit of an aside. I wasn't able to get it done today because, again, that's what I was going to use this 1 hour for that I didn't realize evaporated in front of me when the time changed. But what I'm going to try and do here over the next, gosh, I don't know how many weeks it's going to be, but I have got from a good friend of the show, Matt, I'll leave his last name out, but Matt Matthias, he came on, it's got to be 3 or 4 years ago now, gave us a great story. He has a wonderful story about being a Werder supporter in Bremen. He actually loaned Rudi Völler his track shoes during a 100-meter dash. He was there when the penalty kick hit the goalpost and Werder didn't win the championship or didn't win the title. He had a really wonderful story and a connection with Werder, and it was so great to get in touch with him a number of years back. And he sent me a copy of Arndt Ziegler's Lebenslang Grün und Weiß. And so what I'm going to want to do here over the next little bit is I'm going to go through that book systematically. And I'm going to take pictures of the pages. And at the end of every show, hopefully, if I can get it done going forward, I'll basically touch on, you know, what happened that year in Werder history, maybe to build up a little bit of historical knowledge for some of the new fans and even for a fan like myself, following since 2010. So 14 years, I still don't have a clue about majority of the history of what's happened with our beloved club. And I'm really hoping that it may not appeal to everybody, and I can appreciate that. But for those that want to expand their Werder history, learn a little bit about the club, you know, from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the It's Not Easy to Read segment. Yeah. So I will be, when I take the pictures of the book pages there, I'll be using Google Translate to then translate what's on the page. And everybody that wants to, I'll post these in the Discord. I'll maybe create a thread for it just for these. And so whether you are a German reading and speaking and you have never seen or gone through the book, you'll be able to do that with us in the language you understand. And for those of us that don't speak English, you can then take those pictures, put them into Google Translate and then be able to read along with us. Like I said, I'll kind of gloss over it at the end of the show. But the main thing then would be to go to the Discord, find those pages, and you can read them yourself. And I think it's just going to be kind of a nice way to, again, get in touch with the club in maybe a new way, bring a little bit of context and history to the conversation. And genuinely, I'm hoping that it's going to help me because I get the feeling, and this might be a tangent, I'll try not to make it one, but I get the feeling, like Brian said, that the way that North Americans view the football in Germany is very different from the way Germans view football in Germany, let alone folks that live in Bremen, have supported Bremen all their lives. If they ever heard, or if they do hear us talking about Bremen in maybe some of the aggressive ways that we do, and it's likely because there's some detachment there. And we look at sporting excellence or success maybe differently, thanks to the a Western culture, if you will, and not being closely associated. Like my parents weren't Werder fans, my great grandparents weren't ticket holders. You know, those sorts of things change how a person sees a club and changes maybe how they would address certain situations. So I do wonder sometimes if we come off a little bit aggressive. You know, and somebody would then easily be able to say, well, you don't even understand the history of this club, and they'd have a fair point. I don't. So, this is going to be, I guess a challenge to myself to personally develop and grow, while learning a little bit about, Werder's history. And I also want to offer that as an opportunity for our listeners to come along with, and learn along with us. And it might just change how we think or feel about some different things. And it might just be interesting. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But this is something that I would like to do, and hoping that you'll join us as we work through it. So that's gonna do it for. So yeah, not gonna lie, the way the team is discussed doesn't sound aggressive. You guys are passionate. Well, and that's usually the conversation that we have with listeners. Is that we talk the way we do because we deeply care. And sometimes different people handle things different ways, right? One of the ways that we handle things is we're very passionate. We speak our mind, right? And that doesn't always work for a lot of folks. But like I said, I think this will probably help. If nothing else, it'll just educate us and give us some more context. So I'm kind of excited about that, and I hope you join us for that. Anyway, that is going to do it for today. Next week, I promise I won't forget about the time change, and we'll get this thing kicked off exactly when we're supposed to. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and honestly, for coming along with us on the journey. Really, really love the listeners that we have. Really enjoy getting to do this every week. Some weeks it feels like work, but most weeks this is a joy. It's an absolute joy. And you guys make it that way. So thank you so much. Keep promoting Werder. There's obviously people that are interested. Invite them to watch with you. Invite them to the Discord. Maybe don't invite them to the Discord. You know, use your discretion. But yeah, it's keep spreading the love, keep being good to one another, and we're gonna catch you guys next week. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.